Thank you for joining me today. I hope you're well. And when we left off yesterday, we had been talking about the context of these verses. In Revelation 1, that speak of what Jesus looks like. This is the risen and ascended Christ who is now alive, very much alive in heaven. And when the glorified Christ reveals himself to the Apostle John via the angel in the Revelation, what John sees is stunning. Let me read to you Revelation 1, verses 10 through 15. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet, saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna, and to Pergamum and to Thyatira, and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white, like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. As we have said, the Apostle John is the one who was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, that is Sunday, and he hears the loud voice like the sound of a trumpet behind him, and that powerful voice instructs John to write what he sees, and to send it along to the seven churches along the ancient postal route of that day. And then in verse 12, John actually turns around to see the voice who speaks, and that voice is one like a son of man. And as we said, this is Jesus Christ. John is once again looking at his Lord, this time in heaven, where Jesus stands in the middle of the lampstands. And those lampstands represent Christ's church. All of his churches down through the centuries and ages since Jesus established the church. And we've learned what it means that Jesus wore a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it's been made to glow in a furnace. In a little bit, we're going to come to Christ's voice being like the sound of many waters. But we've learned a lot thus far. And I've read this to remind you of what I said last time. The context here is the judgment of Jesus on sin in his church. We talked about that when we talked about Christ's eyes and his feet, and we'll see it again when we discuss his voice. Yes, indeed, when Jesus looks with piercing eye, flaming eye, in his church he sees our sin, and he commits himself to cleanse the church, to rid the church, to abolish within the church sin. And a good question to ask is, how will Christ deal with sin in the church? How? I believe the answer is discipline. The Lord of the church disciplines the church. And remember, the church is the body of believers in Christ. Christians within the sound of my voice, we are the church. Therefore, Jesus will discipline individual persons within the church. Let me prove this to you from within the Bible itself, and then make a point of application before we get to the sound of Jesus' voice. Turn with me, if you can, to the New Testament book of Hebrews. We've been in Hebrews a little bit recently because it's one of these books that we keep coming back to from other parts of the Scriptures. Hebrews is a great commentary on the Old Testament and the Gospels alike. I like to keep it handy when I am studying God's Word. And we go to it now again in chapter 12. Hear now the word of God in Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 10. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good so that we may share in his holiness. Get a hold of a Bible today and read that. Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 10. be struck along with me about how God disciplines his children. This is a message for Christians in churches. Jesus loves us, therefore he disciplines us. Verse 5 talks about the discipline of the Lord. And then there is the analogy of earthly human parents who disciplined us, as seemed best to them when we were children, Lord willing. All children require discipline, and kids actually desire it and thrive when they receive it. Are you a father or mother who does not exercise authority over your children? You better reconsider. Do not spoil your sons and daughters. Be strict with them and firm. If you are not, you're going to create a significant problem for them as their lives proceed. God teaches parents in his word to discipline your children his way. So too, God as our loving Heavenly Father disciplines his children. That's us, brothers and sisters. And my, how believers that make up the church require discipline for our good, so that, as Hebrews 12 verse 10 says, we may share in God's holiness. Christ disciplines his church to make us holy, as he is holy. That's the purpose of the discipline. This is how he deals with sin in the church. And oh, how many churches today need this? Actually, there's nothing new about this. Note as you read the New Testament epistles, the letters, that every single one of them deal with some sin in the church. Nevertheless, at present, Christ needs to come down hard on his people. Perhaps I'm speaking to you today and you've been deeply hurt by sin in your church. In fact, what happened to you has caused you to leave, and now you're living with a heart filled to overflowing with resentment, anger, and unforgiveness towards, quote-unquote, the church. There are a lot of Christians who sit home and listen to Christian radio and watch Christian TV and avoid the church altogether. Why? This is because other Christians in the church sinned against you. And when that happened, sometime in your past, last week, or many years ago, even decades ago, you thought, forget it, I'm done with this. And you've not been back to church, the gathering of Christ's people together, since. You've convinced yourself it is enough to read your Bible and listen to programs like God Is. You don't need the church. And why is it that you feel this way? It's because of sin. Today, I want you to know that I personally understand how you feel. Really, I do. I've had experiences in churches in both Boston and overseas in Hong Kong, where I've lived for 20 years, that made me sick of the church. I've thought, better I just sit at home, relax, watch a sermon on the TV, listen to one of my favorite radio preachers online, and just live in peace rather than I go back down there to the church and have to engage with so-and-so and such, hypocrites, what they did to me. The church is so imperfect. Why do I want to be a part of that? Well, if you feel that way, and when I have felt this way, here's what you need to know. According to Revelation 1, with assistance from Hebrews 12, Jesus Christ knows about this sin done against us, and he knows about how we have sinned against others in the church also. And he will deal with it. He will judge it. He will cleanse it. And we, you and me, need to trust him to do so. Our response is never to forsake our own assembling together with other believers. Hebrews 10, verse 25. I know that you may not be able to get to church for understandable reasons. For example, you are sick, weak, and too feeble to go. If this describes you, receive Christ's grace and peace to you today. If you feel bad about not being able to get to church, do me a favor and write to me today and express your sorrow. Maybe you feel lonely and forgotten by your community because you're not able to show up Sunday morning. Write to me. I'll pray for you and we can correspond as a way to encourage you and lift you up. I believe radio and podcasting is a great way to bless God's people who cannot move around, who cannot get to the church where Christ's people gather together with one another. But for those of us who are physically able to go, let's take that hope and courage that Jesus is aware of the sin done against us in the church, and let's trust him to discipline those who sin against us, and also to lovingly discipline us. And let's return to the fellowship of believers as soon as possible. Maybe it's a new church you visit. That's fine. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your own sin, to steal away from you the sting of sin committed against you, and to strengthen you to again engage with other Christians in Christ's church. Should you be a spiritual leader within a church where there is sin that has not been dealt with, then Revelation 1 and Hebrews 12 is a severe warning to you. Deal with this sin biblically, or Jesus is going to come and discipline. For example, perhaps you wonder why your church keeps getting smaller and smaller in number, and the offering goes lower and lower. And you've actually been in meetings where consideration is now being given to closing the church. I tell you, that's most often the Lord disciplining you. So repent and address sin, even long-standing, systematic sin in your church. Today, the voice of the Lord booms. Do you hear him? John writes, his voice was like the sound of many waters. This is no still, small voice. No, this is the roaring voice of Christ's authority blasting out across the church. In Revelation 14, verse 2, John describes Christ's voice again. And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters and like the sound of loud thunder. It's also described in Revelation 19, verse 6. That's Revelation 14, 2 and 19, 6. Read those passages later today. Christ's voice thunders, rocks, and rolls across the church. It crashes into the church like a storm unleashed from heaven itself. And when you come back tomorrow, I'll pick up here and say more about the Lord of the church and his voice being like the sound of many waters. But for today, I hope what I've shared with you convicts you, encourages you, sobers you, and gives you hope. Christ loves the church. He died for the church. And therefore, he disciplines the church. He disciplines us. And I'll speak with you again tomorrow here on God Is.